Today marks the 40th anniversary of Alabama Governor George Wallace's stand in the schoolhouse door, one of the most famous moments in the civil rights era. In a showdown with the Kennedy administration, the segregationist governor tried to prevent black students from enrolling at the University of Alabama. But Wallace knew he would fail, and the event was as much for show as for substance. Still, it would have implications for national politics for years to come, NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
1963 was a turbulent year in Alabama, marked by bitter feuds over desegregation. In May, civil rights marchers had been turned back with police dogs and fire hoses in Birmingham. The tone was set early that year by a wiry 43-year-old Wallace during his inaugural address.
I draw the line in the dust and toss the gauntlet before the feet of tyranny, and I say segregation now, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever.
The rhetoric echoed promises from the campaign trail, in which Wallace talked of physically putting himself between the schoolhouse door and any attempt to integrate Alabama's all-white public schools. So when a federal judge ordered two black students, Vivian Malone and James Hood, to be admitted to the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa that summer, Wallace had the perfect opportunity to fulfill his pledge.
This was made for television drama.
Cully Clark is dean of the College of Communication at the university and author of The Schoolhouse Door, Segregation's Last Stand at the University of Alabama.
Right here on June 11, 1963, was a moment that both Wallace and the Kennedys saw as huge opportunity to make their statements.
He is sitting on campus in front of Foster Auditorium.
It doesn't look like a famous building. It does have a neoclassical facade to it, but otherwise it's a gymnasium.
Today, students of all races come and go through the doors to attend health classes here, and the gym floor is open for pickup volleyball or basketball games. Back in 1963, tables were set up in the gym for students to register for class. Vivian Malone Jones, then a 20-year-old transfer from an all-black college, wanted to sign up for accounting classes.
Believe it or not, at that point in my life, I expected it to go pretty smoothly. I mean, I had good grades, and I'd taken the SAT, or College Board exam, and everything, so I felt pretty prepared to go there. And, of course, I don't think the system was ready for me at that time, but I was ready for them.
And she had the force of the federal government behind her. President John F. Kennedy and his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, personally negotiated what was to happen in Tuscaloosa that summer. They hoped to avoid the bloodshed that resulted from integration at Ole Miss and in Little Rock. It was clear Wallace would make at least a symbolic stand in the door. He had argued that if he didn't shoulder that responsibility, other, more violent elements in the state might intervene. Clark says even after a personal visit from Robert Kennedy, Wallace was cagey about his exact plans.
They knew he would step aside. The fundamental question was how.
Just in case, Clark says, National Guard troops had practiced how to physically lift the governor out of the doorway. On June 11th, with temperatures soaring, a large contingent of national media looked on as Governor Wallace took his position in front of Foster Auditorium. State troopers surrounded the building. Then, flanked by federal marshals, Deputy Attorney General Nicholas Katzenbach approached. Arms crossed at his chest and sweat soaking his pant legs from the knees down, Katzenbach told Wallace he simply wanted the governor to abide by the federal court order.
And I've come here to ask you now for an unequivocal assurance that you will permit these students, who after all merely want an education at the great university...
Well, now you make your statement, but we don't need you to make a speech. You make your statement.
I will make my statement, Governor. I was in the process of making my statement. And I'm asking from you an unequivocal assurance that you will not bar entry to these students, to Vivian Malone and to James Hood, and that you will step aside peacefully.
Wallace refused and had his own speech prepared.
I stand here today as governor of this sovereign state and refuse to willingly submit to illegal usurpation of power by the central government. I claim today for all the people of the state of Alabama those rights reserved to them under the Constitution of the United States. Among those powers so reserved and claimed is the right of state authority in the operation of the public schools, colleges, and universities.
Katzenbach took the two black students, who had been waiting in a car nearby, to their dorms. Malone and Hood settled into their rooms and ate lunch. Meanwhile, Katzenbach called President Kennedy, who federalized the Alabama National Guard, to help with the crisis. Clark says later that afternoon, Katzenbach returned with a contingent of National Guardsmen commanded by General Henry Graham.
General Graham then goes up to the governor and says, "It is my sad duty to ask you to step aside." The governor then, in effect, says, "I am now responding to overwhelming federal force, and I am stepping aside."
The governor left campus, and the students returned to Foster to register for classes. But 40 years later, that's not the image that lingers. Vivian Malone Jones.
Rather than the stand, which had its role there for the people who were trying to keep things like they were, but for those of us who were trying to open the doors and change things, I saw it as a change. And I see myself as being part of that change in the South and in Alabama and at the university, where doors could be open for generations to come.
Yet the event was, in a way, a victory for the governor, says Cully Clark.
The symbolism here could be compared to Appomattox, where the South learned that it is not ignoble to surrender, that one can in fact surrender with honor, as long as one has made a stand.
Indeed, Wallace was catapulted into the national spotlight and went on to make four runs at the presidency. It was also a watershed event for President Kennedy, who, in standing down the South's most defiant segregationist, aligned himself solidly with the civil rights movement. The result, Clark says, was the beginning of the end of the solid Democratic South. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
The text of Governor Wallace's statement 40 years ago and related historical material are at npr.org.